Hey, Prime members, did you know that you could be listening to this show ad-free on Amazon Music? With Amazon Music, you get access to the most ad-free top podcasts. Avoid the ads and start listening today.
As the new school year begins, educators are struggling to help their students make up for learning lost in the pandemic.
There's a lot of research that shows that if you haven't learned to read by the end of third grade, your odds of educational success are lower, you know, career earnings. There's even a tie-in with the risk of becoming incarcerated later in life. So the stakes are really high.
And why the European Union is blocking a deal in the emerging market for early cancer detection. Plus, why gyms could help malls get back in shape. It's Monday, September 6th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. New guidance on COVID-19 boosters. U.S. health officials say, barring any new variant curveballs, they plan to recommend shots once a year, starting with the latest round, instead of issuing new guidance every few months. White House officials say that would make COVID boosters similar to annual flu shots. Vulnerable populations like the elderly and those with weakened immune systems may still need boosters more frequently. Last week, federal regulators authorized updated shots targeting the latest variants. They're now rolling out across the country. E-cigarette maker Juul has reached a $438.5 million settlement with more than 30 states and Puerto Rico to resolve allegations that it marketed its products to underage users. As part of the deal, the company cannot depict people under 35 in its marketing, product placement on film and TV, or ads on social media, according to Connecticut's attorney general. Juul had already voluntarily stopped such marketing and sales practices and said the settlement was part of its effort to resolve issues from the past. The company soared to the top of the e-cigarette market in 2018, but regulators and school administrators have blamed the company's hip marketing, fruity flavors, and sleek devices for a surge in underage vaping. Thousands of other lawsuits against the company are still pending. The European Union has blocked life sciences company Illumina's acquisition of cancer test developer Grail, arguing the deal could limit competition in the emerging market of early cancer detection. The decision comes just days after Illumina prevailed in a U.S. antitrust case brought by the Federal Trade Commission, allowing it to move forward with the $7.1 billion acquisition. Our pharmaceutical reporter Peter Loftus says the case marks a more aggressive stance to mergers and acquisitions in the U.S. and abroad.
This is a real policy shift for the EU. They've taken the position that they have jurisdiction over this deal, even though one of the companies doesn't even have any revenue in Europe. That's Grail, the maker of these early cancer detection tests. And the EU is taking the position that they have jurisdiction because even though there's little or no revenue in Europe from that company, it's a fast-moving market where they could quickly become dominant and that could have competitive effects down the line.
Peter says it could take months or even years for legal challenges to play out. Illumina has said it will appeal the EU's decision. And Bed Bath & Beyond has named Laura Crossan interim chief financial officer of the company, following the death by suicide of CFO Gustavo Arnal. Arnal jumped from a New York building last week, 2 days after briefing investors about the company's financing and restructuring plans. The retailer is also searching for a new CEO after ousting Mark Tritton over the summer, following disappointing results for two consecutive quarters. Bed Bath & Beyond has been struggling in recent months. Its stock has fallen about 50% since the start of the year. Arnal had sold about 55,000 of his shares for roughly $1.4 million during the few days in mid-August when Bed Bath & Beyond shares jumped above $20, according to filings with securities regulators. He and activist investor Ryan Cohen have been named as defendants in a shareholder lawsuit seeking class action status, alleging they engaged in illegal insider trading. Bed Bath & Beyond said it believes the suit is without merit. Coming up, it's September, and that means back to school for many students in the U.S. But as they return to the classroom, educators are facing a daunting challenge, making up for the learning loss during the pandemic. More on how they're tackling that after the break.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. Robert Half is here to help. Our recruiting professionals utilize our proprietary AI to connect businesses with highly skilled talent. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
We're still learning the effects of the pandemic on school-age children. But as many begin returning to school this month, some of the damage that's been wrought on their learning curve is clear. As we reported last week, reading and math scores for fourth graders are the lowest they've been in decades. Losses experts say it may take years, even decades, to recoup. But educators aren't giving up, and they're trying out a bunch of things to try to help students get back on track. Joining me now with more on this is Wall Street Journal reporter Scott Calvert. Hi, Scott. Thanks for being here.
Hi there.
So, Scott, we're still figuring out a lot about how the pandemic has set back some students, but we do have some new data that's giving us a bit more information. What can you tell us, broadly speaking, about the scope of the challenges here and where many students in the U.S. are at right now?
We've known for a while that the pandemic was bad for learning all around, and that particularly in-person learning created a lot of challenges, and kids, generally speaking, didn't do as well as students who were back in classrooms sooner. And what we're really starting to see are some numbers that bear that out. And as you mentioned, we've got some recent data that point to this problem, both on reading and on math. And these are national scores. And basically what they found was that in reading, you had the sharpest decline since 1990. And with math, it was the first statistically significant drop since the 1970s. And basically what you have are scores back where they were, you know, about 20 years ago. So that's obviously concerning. And that's, again, sort of a nationwide picture. And we decided for this story to focus more on reading, and particularly in that sort of third grade level. And the reason for focusing on that is up until through third grade, you are learning to read. And at that point, at the end of third grade, that's when you are reading to learn. You really put that reading to use in all sorts of other subject areas, including math. And so we wanted to really take a close look at what's happening there.
So now that most schools are returning to in-person education, teachers and school staff are trying a bunch of different strategies to get students up to speed. Tell us more about what they're trying here.
Yeah, well, a big thrust is giving kids more time to try to catch up with what they've missed out on. And one form is more summer learning, you know, not just like the typical summer school, but really sort of beefing that up and expanding the number of students significantly who are going through summer learning. And that's been happening since 2021, happened again this year. But another area is tutoring. And basically the idea is, okay, you know, there are kids who need various degrees of help. Let's get them into a room with a tutor and help them get caught up. And really the gold standard is what they call high dosage tutoring. And basically what that means is you have a fair number of sessions. It's not just a couple hours and then you're done, but it's consistent over weeks and months. And it's also low ratio. So you've got maybe one tutor for a few kids so that they can really give those students the individualized attention that they need. And one state that has been doing a lot of this is Tennessee. And they have a very aggressive, large program to offer this high dosage tutoring to kids who need some help catching up. And I actually sat in on the first tutoring session at an elementary school outside Nashville in Cheatham County. And there were three girls and the tutor. These were fourth graders, all 9 years old. And they all had different issues with reading. You know, there was one who was having a hard time comprehending what she was reading. Another one said that she really reads too slowly and wants help to read faster. And there was the third girl basically said that her challenge is that she sometimes skips words or sentences where she doesn't quite know what the word means. And that obviously creates problems for her in terms of understanding what she has read. So that was the first session, and it was 45 minutes. They're going to be meeting twice a week, 45 minutes each time, at least through the semester and maybe into the spring as well.
And I'd imagine, Scott, that it's going to take some time to figure out whether this method is working and, for that matter, what methods do work best, right? Is that going to be a process that plays out over months or years? Do we have a sense?
Yeah, that's a challenge. I think people know that high-dosage tutoring, it works, right? But the challenge is nobody's been through this before. There's no roadmap for recovering from a pandemic that has created disruptions on the scale that this one has. And so there's a bit of this building the plane while you're flying it. But at the same time, states don't want to just sort of wait and do a lot of analysis, you know, with pilot programs. They want to help as many kids as they can, as quickly as they can. And so what you have are states like North Carolina, where they are doing studies of the programs that they are rolling out. And so they're trying to do this sort of real-time assessment of what's working so that they can pivot and shift gears. years. And a lot of that hasn't been determined yet. You know, there are a lot of studies that are just beginning to launch. There are some examples. North Carolina, for example, they did an analysis of their summer learning program last summer, summer of 2021, and they found small but measurable positive impacts in both reading and math. So that gives them an indication, okay, we should do, you know, more of that. But the fact of the matter is it's going to take a long time. And one challenge with that is that there's a lot of federal COVID aid that states received. And the biggest chunk was the American Rescue Plan. And there was $122 billion available. And there was a requirement that 20% of that go toward learning loss. And it sounds like a lot of money, and it is, but states are spending a lot of that now. And I guess the challenge is that they won't have a clear sense of how well these things have worked until in some cases that money has run out. And then that will create a problem because they suddenly won't have that funding stream.
Scott, what is the message you're hearing from educators right now about all of this?
Well, there's sort of a couple things. I mean, one is there is an incredible sense of urgency. I heard that word a lot, that every day there is this sense we need to give kids as much as we can to help them get caught up as quickly as we can. And also a sense that what they need is time. But the real trick at this age, particularly these 9-year-olds, you can't overstate the importance of their learning to read at this age, because there's a lot of research that shows that if you haven't learned to read by the end of third grade, your odds of educational success are lower. You know, career earnings. There's even a tie-in with the risk of becoming incarcerated later in life. So the stakes are really high. There was one study that was done about a decade ago that found that kids at the end of third grade who were not proficient readers were 4 times as likely as proficient readers to not finish high school on time, to drop out or just take longer. They are doing everything they can without really knowing quite what's going to work and whether it will be enough.
That's Wall Street Journal reporter Scott Calvert. Scott, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks for having me.
And finally, after years of at-home Zoom or Peloton workouts, in-person fitness classes are making a comeback. And that's benefiting malls and shopping centers, which have seen a rise in gym tenants. Data shows that fitness centers increase foot traffic to other mall shops, particularly in the slower morning and after-work hours, and tend to boost the amount of time spent in a shopping center. Wall Street Journal reporter Kate King says women are playing a big role in helping them shape up.
Landlords have found that having gyms that appeal to females is particularly beneficial for their shopping center because women tend to stay around afterwards and purchase goods and services at other businesses, whether it's going grocery shopping, running other errands, using salons. So landlords often look for these smaller format gyms and studios, for example, bar classes or yoga studios that appeal to female clientele because women are more likely than men, they have found, to spend money after their workouts.
And that's what's news for this Tuesday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like what you hear, please rate and review us. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal.